Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Jacqueline Hogg is rural affairs journalist with Irish Country Living. Jacqueline, you've been investigating cocaine at the Debs. Is it the new champagne?
Good afternoon, Andrea. I'm not sure it's new, but it certainly seems to be a growing issue among school leavers as they make that traditional transition to the next stage of adulthood. So yes, I spoke with students, I spoke with a bus driver, I spoke with an event organiser, and I spoke with a substance misuse counsellor to see what the situation is in rural Ireland.
And how prevalent is it?
Well, the bus driver I spoke to was in the east of the country, and he said it's getting more and more common. He's been bringing young people to events for the last 3 or 4 years, and he says the first time he was cleaning the bus after an event, he found 10 to 12 wraps, didn't know what they were, and had to be told that it was from the cocaine. Now, it's very quick to point out that it's not every school, and it's not everyone in a school. It's normally three or four that are causing the trouble or are involved in all of this.
Yeah, I a lot of people listening to this today probably won't be overly surprised, but maybe at the age of this, I mean, I know we're heading into kind of, well, we're right in sort of Deb season, aren't we, you know, over the coming weeks for a lot of people and even into September as well. I'm sure some will be surprised, Jacqueline, to hear just how available and accessible it is.
The substance misuse counsellor I spoke to pointed out that where there's money, there is cocaine. And with young girls in particular, they see it as a body image thing, that it's, you know, it's less calorific than alcohol. And I mean, we had that study there a week or two ago, the European School Survey Project, which showed that there had been a sharp decline in alcohol intake. But from the young people I spoke to, even ones that are gone from school a couple of years, they said, well, if drink is down, something else is being consumed, you know. And even the event organizer I spoke with, he pointed out that, like, drink isn't as big of an issue anymore. Now, he also said that he hadn't come across the drugs issues so far this season. The Deb season runs from the end of June to September, October.
Yeah, it can be right well over the summer period. All right. Julie's with us on the line. Julie, this is something you've experienced with your own son.
Yeah, and from an age in school as well, from 17, 18, I wasn't aware that he had been using drugs, I suppose, socially. But it was certainly looking back and having very frank conversations with him, the family, and even his friends. It was something that was widely available. And that's, you know, 5 years ago. For him, it was something that the first time he used, it became something that was going to become an addiction. He had ADHD and he was never really able to, as a teenager, find a way to ease his mind, to settle his mind. And he was also at such a stage where he's, you know, trying to find out who he is, find his identity. Mm. And he was a DJ, and he found that when he was DJing at the age of 18, people would come along and just put it under his nose at the DJ booth. So it was something that he became addicted to really quickly.
When did you first become aware of it?
Well, during COVID, really, he had definitely let things get out of control. Financially, there were things going on. I was trying to mind members of my family that were sick, and I lost both my parents during COVID.
Oh,
so it was after, kind of in between losing my dad and losing my mum, that he had come to me, you know. And really, he didn't just, you know, he really was having nervous breakdowns with it. And that was the point that he knew he had to talk. So he, after my mum died, we got him into a really good rehab. I mean, they're an amazing group, Asheree. And for the teenagers, the adolescents, they have in Kilkenny, Ashlyn. And he went there, but he had to go there. He relapsed basically after doing a month there. He relapsed again after a few months back in Dublin. And, you know, it really, you don't find out that there's a problem. You hope they're not lying, but it's a similar thing to most addicts. He had to go there again the following year. So he did a stint at age 18, age 19, literally the same month, the subsequent year. And really, he relapsed again. And on the third occasion, he came to me. He was crying. He wanted to be locked in his bedroom. He wanted to be locked up because he was getting out the window, not partying, but just going to score drugs on tick, is what it's called. And drug dealers were certainly willing to do that in large quantities. So there was drug debt. And, you know, I said, you can't lock windows, doors, everything. It really doesn't, it doesn't work. He did beg me to do it. We did try it once. And he wasn't partying. As I said, he was crying in his bed, using and going, I can't leave it. But he wanted help. He begged for help. And he was very low. And he felt that if he didn't get help, he would die. And so I basically stopped working. And he asked me to leave the county with him. And I rented Airbnbs for 3 months outside of Dublin, all around, very near the adult clinic this time, because at this stage we realized with the adolescent clinic and ourselves that it wasn't working for him. He needed adult treatment.
And was he an inpatient at that stage, Julie?
So no, he was an outpatient, and I couldn't find the support, the mental health support that he needed. The problem is, and I won't mention any of the names in terms of the HSE, but the problem is if you're using, they won't give you help. You have to stop using to get mental health help. And we couldn't get a public rehab place for him in an adult scenario, the third occasion. So I literally got on the phone and rang every single centre going, begged, cried, did everything. So did he, because I wasn't going to do it unless he wanted the help. And eventually, as I say, I packed up him, I, the dogs, and Airbnb'd near Tipperary, which is Ashiri, the adult centre, and really hoped for a place, but there wasn't going to be a place, and it could have been a year, and I just couldn't sustain that financially. So I paid $8,000 for a private place, and even at that we had to wait, and that's for 28 days treatment, which is a really important part of the picture. But what he really needed was the secondary treatment, which is the months after that. And they do a program which is a secondary treatment. They do it in various counties in Ireland. And so he had to come out and wait for about 3 months after his initial treatment of 28 days and wait for that place, that really important place.
For the follow-up, so, really, the support service. And was it a success?
Yeah, he got into Waterford and he was there for 5 months. And then he rented a place and worked in Waterford and kind of just found himself really through the AA program, which is the NA program, Narcotics Anonymous, found his people, if you like, found a passion, which needed to be a bit away from music. And it was very hard for him being a young, you know, 21-year-old loving music and having a passion in making music. And yet that was the thing that was going to really maybe draw him back. So I think that was the really difficult bit. But he found running and a passion for running and a passion for helping other young people. And he's 2 years clean.
Of course. I'm sure for you, there's just the relief, I'm sure, of this, you know, and having gone through what you went through as a family, like as a collective, it must be just a huge weight off your shoulders.
It is the most horrific thing. Yeah. And we've gone through a lot as a family, as I say. I lost both my parents during COVID. My daughter has had to have palliative care at times from a very chronic illness. And this is the worst thing that we've gone through as a family. This is the hardest thing that we've gone through. as a family.
Well, look, it's great to hear and good to hear, Julie, that you're out the other side of it, and interesting to hear, you know, just about the support services that are there or the maybe weren't there at times. What is there, I suppose, in place and worth highlighting that for people listening today. Michael Gearan is joining us as well. Julie, thank you for getting in touch and sharing your experience with us. Michael Gearan is an addiction therapist in Limerick. Julie's story will come as no surprise to you, Michael.
Absolutely not, Annette. I'm delighted to hear that Julie's son is doing well now.
Yeah.
And I was reminded during the when Julie was telling her story, very, very brave of her to do so, that I remember dealing with a client a number of years ago who had survived cancer and put it behind him and developed a drug addiction. And he said that in terms of psychological severity, he found dealing with the cancer easier than dealing with the addiction. So that is indicative of the psychological impact that addiction has on individuals who suffer from it and their loved ones and families.
You know, we're talking about this today, Michael, because of the investigation that Jacqueline mentioned that she'd been carrying out. And while the Debs celebrations, the post-leave insert, the post-school, of course, big nights out are coming up over the next couple of weeks. And the prevalence of cocaine at the Debs celebrations. Like, how much of this do you see, do you hear for 17 and 18-year-olds?
Well, I did an interview 5 years ago on the Irish Examiner about cocaine and Debs, and I was told I was being alarmist and I was a prophet of doom and I was this, that and the other. And it's absolutely the case that cocaine, for a minority of young people, is part of the whole Debs ecosystem. Cocaine now is hugely available, it's quite affordable and it's very fashionable, and it's not at all unusual for us to come across young men and women, 20, 22 years of age, who were reporting alarmingly low ages of first use of cocaine, as low as 15 years old. So cocaine is a huge issue. There was a recent survey published by the HRV that shows in the past 3 years, the demand for treatment places for cocaine has gone up by a factor of 60. So that's an indication of what we're dealing with. In 2023, 3.5 tons of cocaine were seized coming into the country by the authorities, but yet we never had a cocaine shortage. So it's against that backdrop that we look at the normalisation of cocaine within society. And with that normalisation, inevitably, you will see this type of thing going on with young people who are engaging in risk-taking behaviour around school-leaving age.
Yeah, and you know, like the thing about it is, and I think Jacqueline mentioned it maybe at the very outset today, you've a lot of people that are very focused on their health, their well-being, their fitness. They're looking at every single calorie and piece of food and drink that's going into their bodies. They're exercising to no end, Michael, and there's been a huge shift and a huge uptake in that. And Jacqueline mentioned, you know, some of the people she was talking to, you know, that a lot of them see drugs as the less calorie, you know, intake option. That seems to be why a lot of kind of that late teen, early 20-year-old is opting for it.
Yes, absolutely. And I remember a young man around that age telling me a couple of years ago about cocaine. He said it was no more expensive, he didn't put on weight, and he didn't have a hangover. So he saw them as three advantages, as opposed to going out taking a few drinks. So it's our perception of cocaine is the issue. And the perception of cocaine that is causing it to be used by people as young as those who go to Debs and so on is all stemming from the fact that we have absolutely nothing in place at post-primary level to educate young people about the harms of drugs. Absolutely nothing.
James is with me, Michael, on the line as well. James, I believe you're in your early 20s. How much cocaine use and, well, I suppose any drug use really, do you see around your kind of peer groups?
Well, cocaine is awash in every part of the country, whether you're in the city centre of Dublin or you're in rural Donegal like myself. It is absolutely everywhere. And the casual use of it is a real substantial issue. I personally have never taken it, and I wouldn't for a number of reasons, but I could go on to social media, Snapchat, Instagram, and find a drug dealer extremely easy. I didn't come up with the phrase, but I've heard it used, that you can order cocaine faster than a pizza in rural Ireland. And I think that is absolutely correct. People, especially young ones, but of all ages, don't see an issue with taking cocaine. I mean, there's the health issues with it possibly being cut with fentanyl, or not even that, but like laxatives or broken glass. And then there's the moral issue of the people that you purchase this cocaine from are extremely nasty people. They are criminals of the highest order. They are parasites on society to an extent, and they use that money that you give them for cocaine, and they spend it on arms trafficking, extortion, and human trafficking. So people think of it as a victimless crime. Oh, I'm just taking this like I would take a pint of beer. It is not the same and is not equivalent in terms of the risk to yourself, but also where that profit goes. But it is absolutely a wash everywhere. You could find it extremely quickly if you wanted to, anywhere.
So look, it's and you're somebody in rural Ireland, and like we've talked about this many times before here in the programme, James, but it's the prevalence of any form of drug use in the early adulthood age group is just so
substantial.
Common.
Like, you can sit in a pub and you can be focused on just having a pint yourself, and you can be offered it, you can find it. It is, as you've mentioned before, the cheapness of it and the affordability. There's obviously, there's the extreme example of drug addiction where somebody is taken by themselves in their home and they're an extreme level of addiction, and that is its own problem. But the casual relationship and the casual use of it by young people, they don't see it as a problem. They don't see the long-term consequences, both to themselves as individuals, to their community, and to society at large, that the purchasing and use of cocaine and other hard drugs causes.
Michael, just maybe a final point on this, and just in relation to a text message I've gotten here from one listener. What do you clarify, or what do you characterise as addiction? Because this listener makes the point that they're talking about a friend of theirs who really every weekend, one if not two nights over the weekend, result in you know, fairly heavy cocaine use. Like, at what point do addiction therapists say this is an addiction?
Okay, generally speaking, Andrea, what we do when somebody comes to us and we're trying to establish whether that person falls into the category of being an addict or not, we ask three questions. We ask, number one, have you tried to stop and failed? Number two, has your use caused negative consequences for you? And number three, have these negative consequences been enough to get you to stop? And if particularly question three, if the answer is no, it's more likely than not that that person is an addict. Obviously, there are more extensive diagnostic assessment tools we use than that. But that's basically it. If it's causing negative consequences and you can't stop,
it's
you're
a good
in trouble.
Gauge, I suppose. And if people want to get in touch, Michael, you know, maybe reach out for counselling or addiction services, where would you suggest?
I would suggest Coonvera. They're nationwide. Their website is www.coonvera.ie, and they do detox. And that goes back to the point that Julie made there. They actually will work with active users and take them in and provide them with medically residential detox in the community.
Addiction therapist Michael Guerin. Michael, thanks for joining us. James, Jacqueline Hogg there, rural affairs journalist with Irish Country Living, and Julie as well. Julie, thanks a million for getting in touch with us here at Lunchtime Live and sharing your story. You can email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.